till after our message. And today, in light of the season being close to Christmas, I'm going to move out of the book of John for the next couple of weeks, and we're going to move into the book of Romans, just chapter 5, the first 11 verses of Romans chapter 5. This is something that I call 11 reasons to be thankful that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or 11 reasons to trust Christ. Because in these first 11 verses in Romans chapter 5, God wants us to understand through the Apostle Paul, who he used to write it, that God has given us so much, and it's amazing. In this first six, in these first 11 verses, Paul's going to say this happens through the Lord Jesus Christ six different times in 11 verses. You know, the first chapter of Romans says that that the guy out in the jungle's lost unless he looks to Christ. Chapter 2 says that the moral man, the hypocrite's lost unless he looks to Christ. Chapter 3, he says all of us are lost unless we look to Christ. And then he says that's the bad news. But then in chapter 4, he starts out with the good news. The good news, he tells us that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. In other words, because Abraham believed that Jesus was coming to die on the cross and die for his sins and die in his place, he looked forward to Jesus having come. And when he did that, the Bible says that God put his righteousness in Abraham's bank account. See, the Bible tells us that we're all bankrupt sinners, that there is none righteous, no, not one. That's the bad news. But the good news is when Jesus died on that cross, he did everything that was necessary to pay for our sins, to get us into heaven. Y'all just got through singing that song, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. And so basically, what that song says is the same thing the Bible says, is without Jesus Christ, we're not going to make it to heaven. That there's not enough good works, not enough things that we can do to earn it, to deserve it, to pay for it. But when we put our trust in Jesus, in him alone, then that's what gets us into heaven. And so when we get to chapter 5, Paul says in the very first verse, at the first word, he says, therefore. He says, based on everything that I just got through saying about everybody being lost, but then he's really emphasizing the fact that Abraham believed and was saved by faith. Because see, the Bible tells us that the gospel was preached to Abraham. It says that in Galatians chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, that all the prophets spoke of Jesus Christ. It tells us in John chapter 8, which we remember in verse 58, where Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And he said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day and was glad. Abraham knew Jesus was coming. He trusted in that. He believed in that. He looked forward to Jesus coming. We look back to Jesus coming. It's amazing how much stuff is in this Bible that probably, I don't know if you've ever been taught it or not. You know, I hope you realize I just really try to teach what's in this Bible. That's all that really matters, is what's in this Bible. That's the important thing, right? It doesn't matter what denomination we are or what background we've come from. What matters is that we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and that we read the Bible and understand it for what it really truly says. That's the most important thing. And so that's what he says here in the first verse. He says, therefore, based on what I just got through saying, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. So what does Paul say? Therefore, having been justified by faith, that word justified means to be legally declared righteous. It means that God knows that every single one of us has done something wrong in our life. He knew it. But when He was on that cross, He died for us anyway, because Romans 5 verse 10 says, "For if when we were enemies," the Bible says, if you don't know Christ, you're an enemy of God. And I know a lot of people say, well, you know, I'm okay with God and He's okay with me. But it's not like Switzerland. Jesus says, you're either for me or you're against me. There's no middle ground. And the moment you trust Jesus Christ, you become a son of God, a friend of God, His child. But until that point, you don't belong to Him. He says you're legally declared righteous. Remember, I've said that before. I've given y'all the example about the bank robber. Say I went and robbed a bank tomorrow. Now, I'm not planning on doing that. But if I robbed a bank and I got caught in the bank and the dye blew up on me and there was 50 police outside and the WTOC showed up and caught me on camera and there was another 100 people inside the bank and the cameras in the bank caught me, and I went to trial and they found me guilty, and the judge was about to sentence me, and he says, "Mr. McKenzie, you're guilty and I'm fixing to give you your sentence." And about that time, the governor's representative comes in and he has a pardon. And he says, "Mr. McKenzie, I know you're guilty, but here's your pardon." Now, that's not really right for a man to give a guilty man a pardon unless there's some extenuating circumstances. But the Bible tells us that God does that for us. He knows we're guilty, but He gives us a not guilty verdict because of the fact that He died in our place and died for our sins. And when we trust in Him, He declares us legally righteous, not guilty, before a perfect, sinless God. See, the issue is not the fact that so many of us, we think we're not that bad. But the issue is He's a perfect, holy God. He's so good that in the sight of God, we're just not good in His eyes. And so to get to Him, we have to trust Christ. And so He says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith," I want to talk about that first benefit this morning. He says, we have peace with God. The Bible says that unless you know Christ, you're at war with God. The Bible says that that we're in sinful rebellion. But you know what? The moment we trust Jesus Christ, guess what? We become a friend of God. We become His children. We become His beloved people. And at that moment, we have peace with God. You know, it's an amazing thing that when that peace with God comes, you know what else comes with it? The peace of God. Because a lot of people, they don't understand, and they're hopeless and helpless, and a lot of times people just don't understand life, and they're upset, and they just don't understand, and they've got, feel like they got so much on their shoulders. But the moment you trust Christ, what happens? Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest," right? He said, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In other words, Jesus lifts that burden off our shoulders. At one point, the reason we feel weary and heavy laden is because we're sinners and we can't get to a holy God and we don't know what to do with all of our sin and how to get rid of it. But the moment Jesus comes into our life, He forgives us and He saves us and He changes us and He lifts that burden off our shoulders, and we can walk around and lift our head up high because a God who's in heaven loves us and cares for us. That's pretty good, isn't it? And then He says, second of all, He says, notice what He says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way you have that is through Jesus Christ, right? Because what does the Bible say in John chapter 14? I'll throw a little bit of John in here this morning. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father but by me." And so the only way you get to the Father is through Jesus, through His death on the cross, His sacrificial, substitutionary death on the cross. I trust in Him because He died for my sins, and that's how I get to God. That's called faith. And so He says, through whom, there he is again. He says, through whom, he's back again, tell us the second time, through Jesus, we also have access by faith. Did you know what? Do you know the moment that you trust God, you have access to the very throne room of God? I was listening to a guy preach this morning, and you know what? In the Old Testament, they couldn't approach God. They couldn't come to God. You know, a lot of times we don't feel like we're worthy to come to an infinite God and pray about our little old nitpicky problems, and why should I come back to God and talk to Him, because I'm so little and I'm so insignificant, that does He really care about me? And sometimes we feel like that, or maybe we keep doing something wrong and we get mad and we're like, well, you know, God's not going to forgive me again. God's upset with me. God doesn't love me anymore. But that's not true, because the Bible says that we have access to God. That means an introduction to grace through Jesus Christ. It means that we're ushered into the very presence of royalty. Jesus, through His sacrifice on the cross, ushers us into the very presence of God. Think about this. In the Old Testament, they could only go into Holy of Holies, which is where God's presence dwelt, once a year. Did you know that? And when they went in there, the guy that got picked to go in there, he would wear a robe with little bells around the bottom of his robe. He would also wear a rope around his waist. Now, if he went in there into that Holy of Holies and he sinned while he was in there, or he went in there with sin in his life that wasn't confessed, you know what would happen? He would drop dead. Now, there was a spot in the Old Testament, remember, where Moses was given the law and the people were scared to come close to the mountain because they were afraid God would kill them because of His magnificent power. They saw the thunder and the lightnings and the power of God, and they were afraid to come into the presence of God. But you know what? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. Let me turn over there real quick. But Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16 tells us a different story. Whereas in the Old Testament, only one person could come into the presence of God once a year, it tells us here in verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He's talking about Jesus being our high priest. And he says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. This is a throne of grace. You know, grace is getting something you don't deserve, right? If you've done something bad and somebody hands you a present, says, I love you, that's grace. Because you've done something bad and you were mean to them, and they say, here, I love you. Here, I want you to let you know how much I love you, and here's a present. Well, you know what? That's what the Bible says. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Mercy is the other side of grace. Mercy's not getting what we deserve. The Bible says that we're all sinners and we deserve death and hell and damnation. But the Bible says when we trust in Jesus, by grace, through faith, we're saved. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And so He gives us the free gift of salvation, the free gift of acceptance, the free gift of peace with God. And at that moment, the Bible says, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. You can call on God anytime, anywhere, anyhow. And the Bible says that you never get a busy signal. Do you know that? God's never too busy for you. He's never too busy for me if we know Him as Lord and Savior. That we can come to Him anytime and say, God, I got a problem. God, can You work in my life? God, can You work on somebody else's life? God, and He doesn't say, hey, Marty, call me back later. I'm too busy right now. I got 14 other people or 40 million other people trying to pray to me right now. Call me back later. He doesn't say that. He says, what you got, Marty? Come and share your request and let me know what you need because I love you. He's never too busy for us. Did you know that? God is never too busy for you and He's never too busy for me. And so He said we can come boldly before the throne of grace. And so He says we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And so the third thing that we have is we have also a standing before God. We have this standing before God. Did you know that you have a permanent, secure position if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I know a lot of people think that, well, you know, you can be saved and you can lose it. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says whoever believes has eternal life. Not will be, not ever will be, but has eternal life. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might be, not hope so, but shall be saved. And so we have a permanent secure position. He says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, he says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." And in verse 19, he says, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God." The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, you know what he says? He says, "You have been made kings and priests forever." Did you know that? Maybe y'all are queens, but he calls us kings and priests forever. You know what that means? It means that one day in heaven that we're going to rule and reign with God. We're going to be in control of the kingdom. We'll rule the kingdom with Him. That God will be on the throne. Jesus will be on the throne. But we'll be ruling and reigning with Him. Just as here on earth we had work to do based on our obedience here on earth and what we've done for God, we'll have a position in heaven and we will rule and reign with Him. And we will be kings and priests forever. That's amazing, isn't it? You know, a king's a high exalted position, right? And only very few people were the priest. But the Bible tells us in the New Testament that He has made all of us kings and priests. You know, we don't have to go through anybody else to pray. We can go directly to the throne of grace. We don't need a mediator because Jesus is our mediator. He's our high priest. He is the one we pray to the Father through Jesus Christ. We pray, Jesus said, you pray through Him to the Father. We have a permanent, secure position. Let's look at the next one here too. This kind of goes along with this in verse 3 also. Verse 2 also, excuse me. "And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Did you know what? Because if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can rejoice or have joy in the hope of the glory of God. You know what that means? It means that you can know that one day you're headed to heaven. You can know that one day that you have that permanent secure position. You can know that one day that God's coming back to get you. I want to read a couple of verses for you. Some of my favorites is in 1 Peter. And he tells us over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5, he said, "Blessed be the God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance." You've got an inheritance. "It's incorruptible, it's undefiled, and it does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation to be revealed in the last times." We have a hope of heaven because Jesus paid the price, and God promised to save us if we believe that Jesus paid for our sins. That's the facts, folks. That he says that Jesus, because he was raised from the dead, that guess what? We can rest in the fact that one day God will raise us from the dead. And he says he's given us an inheritance. One day we'll have an inheritance. Doesn't a king and a priest have an inheritance? And then he says that it's incorruptible, undefiled. It doesn't fade away. In other words, nothing can mess up what God has for you in heaven. And then he says, reserve for you in heaven. It's not like you're going to get up to heaven one day and God's going to say, oh, sorry, Marty. Somebody beat you to your reservation. You know, you ever called the hotel and said, I want to make a reservation? And then when you get there, they say, sorry, we don't have your reservation. We don't have any record of Mr. McKenzie. We don't have any record of your reservation. But you know what? That won't happen one day in heaven. When you get there, because you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll say, come on in, Marty. Here's your place. And He'll have a place ready for me. And He'll put your name in there. Come on in. And I've got a place for you that's reserved. And nobody can take your reservation because God has reserved that just for you and just for me. Isn't that amazing? There's one more verse I love. There's a lot of Hebrews in this message. He talks about Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. He says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul. What hope? The hope because Jesus died, He was buried, He rose again, and He went to heaven. Because He did that, we have this hope as an anchor of the soul. You know what an anchor is? It holds something in place, right? Well, that's what Jesus does. He holds us in place. We can't float off. We can't go nowhere. And Jesus is holding us. It says it's both sure and steadfast. That means it's not going anywhere. Because who is the anchor? Jesus. And He says, which enters the presence behind the veil. You remember I told you a minute ago about the high priest who could only go into the Holy of Holies once a year? And there was this big, thick veil around the Holy of Holies. And it was about 15 or 20 inches thick. There was all these curtains, and they were just thickness and thickness and thickness, and there was rows of curtains. And by the time you got through, there was about this much curtain. But on the minute that Jesus died, the second He died, the Bible says that God rent that veil from the top to the bottom to show us that we have access to God now. That in the Old Testament, what did they do? They went to the priest and they confessed their sin and he would make a sacrifice for them. Today, the Bible says that that veil's been torn and we can come boldly to Jesus, that we come directly to God. We don't need anybody else. We come directly to Him. And He says that Jesus has entered that presence behind the veil. And that's where that anchor is secured, in the very throne room of God. We are secured by Jesus being in the throne room of God right now. And it says where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. In other words, He says where the forerunner has entered. Do you know what a forerunner is? A forerunner is a person that goes in front of you, right? Yeah, he's a messenger. But what would happen a lot of times is if there was a ship coming in the harbor. And you've seen some of these big ships, and what do? They tie the ropes to the tugboats, and the tugboats pull them into the harbor, right? And make sure they get docked safely. Well, in the old days, they didn't have tugboats, right? Well, what they would do is when the ship got a certain distance from the shore, what they would do is they would have a guy dive off the boat. He'd either get in the boat or dive off the boat, and he'd get to shore. And he'd have a little small rope. And it would be attached to the big rope that was attached to the ship. And they would pull that little rope up tight, and then they would take that big rope. And they would hook it around a winch, and they would slowly reel that ship safely into dock. That way it made it safely in the harbor. And you know what? That's what Jesus does for us. He's our anchor up in heaven. And one day, because He's there, He's going to pull us into heaven and we're going to make it safe and sound. And can't nobody do anything about that? Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, if God be for us, who can be against us? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Neither height nor depth or things above or things are below or things, any other created thing can separate it from us, from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Nobody, nothing can do it. And that's the promise that God has given us. I'm going to stop right there today. But I just want to let y'all know that there are so many wonderful things that God has done for us. There are so many benefits of knowing Jesus Christ. You know, we sing that old song, and I think we'll finish with it today. Count your blessings, name them one by one. And I keep telling y'all, some of y'all that have been here and heard me say that I want to change the verse and say, count your blessings, name them one by one, count your many blessings. And I want to change it to say there's about 1,000,001. Because 1,000,001 blessings don't even begin to tell us what all God has done for us. I mean, He loves us so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross for us. He loved us so much that He let His Son pay for our sins on that cross, be whipped and beaten and hung on that cross and die in our place naked and ashamed and for everybody just up there on that cross. And He died and He took our hell when He was on that cross. And it's an amazing thing to me that God loved us that much. Can you imagine that God loved us that much, as one man said. He spread His arms out and He hung on the cross. That's how much God loves us. You know, we always say, I love you this much. Well, that's how much God really did love us, because He died on the cross like that with His arms spread out, because Jesus was God in human flesh. And so think about that today, that as we approach this Christmas season, that the most... I know we give a lot of gifts and get a lot of gifts during Christmas, but remember the greatest gift of all. It says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He says salvation is by grace through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And so that's, to me, is what is wonderful about knowing Jesus Christ. And so let's pray, and then why don't we sing number 18, Count Your Many Blessings. Father, we love You, we thank You, we praise You for all these folks here today. We pray for all those who didn't make it, who are not here, or having a tough time, and we just ask that You would heal them and strengthen them and help them to be able to come back to the church service and serve You and hear from Your Word, Lord. Help us to know just how great You are, how much You love us, and just how much it cost You to put Your Son on that cross. Father, we love You, we thank You, we praise You for who You are and what You've done. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm the child without a home. I'm the widow left alone. So be loved, be loved to me. Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to our program, The Least of These. Every week, we at His Love Ministries, we go out and reach out to those the world has forgotten. We go out to many places throughout the community. We conduct about 70 services every single month. And we go out and minister to those who can't get out and go to church services, those that have been forgotten by the community, those in nursing homes, assisted living facilities, mental health facilities,
even the prisons and the jails. And so as we go out and minister to the least of these, we're trying to reach them with the soul-saving message of Jesus Christ. And He is the only way to get to heaven. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father but by Me." Every week we're out there trying to minister to these folks, and every week we're in the trenches just giving them the gospel, trying to grow them, trying to strengthen them. Many of them are unable, or all of them actually are unable to be able to go out to services. And so we go out to them. And it's a job that we love because God has called us to it. And so if you like what you hear with our podcast, our main website is hisloveministries.net. You can go over there and you can help us fulfill our mission, reaching out to those the world has forgotten, to the least of these. Because Jesus said, "If you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto Me." And so if you want to help us, go out to our website. There's a Donate Now button. You can click on it and donate directly to us. Or you can send us a regular mail, Post Office Box 30513, Savannah, Georgia, 31410. Thank you very much, and God bless you for helping us.